It's become such a standard way of working, no one questions it anymore. The coordination and review process for intelligence analysis is aimed at getting everyone's views considered before the work product is sent up the chain of command. But are political leaders getting carefully balanced insight or just blather? My next guest suspects, well, you can probably guess. Derek Grossman spent a decade in the intelligence community. He's now with the RAND Corporation, and he joins me now. Derek, good to have you in.
Thanks, Tom. Good to be here with you.
You're saying that this process, you've written this for War on the Rocks, that the process of, I guess you could call it, getting everyone's views reconciled and to agree is, first of all, driving good people out of the whole analysis business.
Well, Tom, I don't know if it is driving folks out of the intelligence business per se, but what it is doing, it's creating a situation whereby our analysis in the community is becoming less candid and is favoring more generic assessments that are aimed to appease multiple constituencies. And this is something that I discuss at length in the article. Whereas, you know, in the academic community, you have a diversity of views based on the same evidence, and that is encouraged. But in the intelligence community, there is an active admonishment against doing so. And my fear and my concern is that policymakers are not getting the best hard-hitting, candid analysis from the community.
Well, let me ask you this. There are analysts and there are people gathering intelligence, and that intelligence goes to the analysts who synthesize it in some way. How many people tend to be involved in saying, suppose the question comes, what's going on in Syria 5 years ago, just to make up an example? How many people might be involved in providing an analysis of what's going on in Syria to defense leaders and maybe to the president?
In terms of actual numbers, I wouldn't be able to say. But what I have seen from my own experience is that there are literally dozens of different players involved in any even short piece of analysis, whether it be on Syria or another topic. And what happens is these folks need to review the piece, coordinate on the piece, and it kind of creates this too many cooks in the kitchen type of scenario. And that results in you having to make sure that others agree with the piece, even when they may or may not have anything to do with the particular topic.
And do you think that that produces a result where people are feeding up the chain what they think the upper people want to hear?
I wouldn't say that, Tom, but what I would say is that managers in particular in the community try to forge this consensus through the coordination and review process. And a lot of times that has more to do with editing. And there's been a lot of conversation in the literature on this about the pros and cons of editing. In my view, editing is not just changing happy to glad, but it can actually change the meaning of the assessment. Words are important, and especially in the intelligence community where we primarily, when I was in the community, we would primarily convey our views through words, through the written product. Policymakers, the consumers of this information, would view things differently depending on the word choices.
Suppose you had a situation, again, I'm making this up, I'm not attributing this to you, it's from my head, but suppose some elements in an analysis team would say, hey, there's no way that Vladimir Putin is going to be bombing Syria. He has no interest in that. He's going to keep out of it, let it figure it out. Other people said, he's going to bomb Syria. That's going to cause a lot of questions and dilemmas for the United States. If that had happened, how might that have ended up being fed in the final written product?
So the way it stands right now is that there is a dissent process in the intelligence community. And the dissent is about three sentences, maybe four sentences. And the coordination and review process tends to sideline dissent in the, you know, because they're trying to get to this unified analytic line. My sense is that you can dissent, but it will be very difficult to do so. And so what I'm proposing in this piece is that the community consider analyst perspectives, and analyst perspectives would be a more unvarnished perspective from the analysts themselves, or it could be multiple analysts who put together a piece that is that provides the unfiltered argumentation to the policymaker, whether right or wrong, but at least it's out there and available.
We're speaking with Derek Grossman, senior project associate at the RAND Corporation and former member of the intelligence community. So that brings danger because to the leadership, suppose that leadership's superior, say the vice president or you know, whoever it might be that's acting on this analysis, could see something coming from way down below the layer that he deals with or she deals with, saying, well, you know what, I like what that person is saying. That's kind of threatening, I would imagine, to the management at the intelligence level.
It would absolutely be threatening to the management, but there are numerous reasons why we should consider doing this. For one thing, policymakers live in a very personalized, highly personalized environment, and they tend not to trust information that they can't properly source. And the way it stands right now is that the vast majority of intelligence community assessments do not have bylines. You cannot tell who is writing it. So that's one thing I think it would fix. Another is from the analyst perspective. The tradecraft guidance that we've received from the Office of the Director of National Intelligence, ODNI, is to ensure that key assumptions are always checked. And one way of doing that is to have this alternative analysis to check that, to put a check on the office analytic line.
What would it require for this change to occur in the intelligence community? And is the same level of editing and homogenizing taking place in all of the intelligence elements? Because that's a lot of different agencies.
Well, unfortunately, I would say the answer is yes, it is. But now it varies from agency to agency. And, you know, when you look at the national level intelligence assessments, those are a corporate, as I point out in the piece, a corporate product to the nth degree, meaning that they are products that require this massive amount of consensus building, even for the shortest sentence or paragraph, to ensure that everybody is on the same page. So when we look at these national level assessments, we have to understand how the sausage is made.
And I guess it would be important to have in place some protection for people that had a differing view but were wrong, or the people that had the consensus view and were wrong, so that nobody gets dinged in this for being honest.
Here's the thing. Intelligence assessments are kind of viewed as the holy grail. This is the right answer. And that's an unfortunate viewpoint, because the reality is it's much more of an art than a science. In the community, the analysts are painstakingly reading tea leaves and trying to piece together an assessment based upon the available information and what's within the realm of possibility. So I think another contribution for analyst perspectives is that policymakers will understand that there are differing perspectives on these topics, and that they can't point to a corporate product at the end of the day and blame it for being wrong, because they'll now see that there is a diversity of perspectives on the issue. And by the way, policymakers are very intelligent people who usually welcome different views.
The case of the weapons of mass destruction that were or were not in Iraq before the whole invasion, and that was the pretext or the partial pretext of it. Do you think that maybe a process with more diversity of opinions being sent up might have changed the outcome of that whole campaign, that whole 10-year deal?
Hard to say, Tom. You know, it's been widely reported that the State Department dissented on that NIE, and policymakers still decided that there were WMD in Iraq. But I think the advantage, see, in that case, even the dissent needed to be coordinated. But I think the advantage, again, of analyst perspectives is that it would be an unvarnished view that would go directly to the policymakers for them to consider.
And you get the sense that there are other people still in the intelligence community that agree with you here.
it's the kind of thing where folks usually have very strong positions on this one way or another. I've definitely encountered a number of strong advocates for this idea, but I think those who are opposed to it, or at least lukewarm to it, worry that policymakers will pick and choose the assessments that they would like to listen to. And my retort to that is that policymakers already do so. And at the end of the day, the process is more about influencing discussion as opposed to providing a unified analytic line that you expect them to pay attention to and to carry out, because that it's more of a conversation.
Derek Grossman is senior project associate at the RAND Corporation and former briefer at the Defense Intelligence Agency. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Tom.
We'll have a link to his writing and to this interview at federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive.